There's lots of definitions when you look at it. Everyone likes to define godfidence because it's not a word that's in the dictionary, but it's on Google, obviously. So my definition, I just wanted to add to the definitions, is that it's confidence that God is good, that he is in control. Can you now tell me some examples of people that you know from the Bible, throughout history, or today, who are people that display godfidence? Paul, the Apostle Paul? Massive godfidence, I agree, yeah. Corrie ten Boom, yes. Yep. Queen Esther, yes. Yes. Abraham, definitely, yes. May? Jesus, yes. I think May wins. What do you reckon? Fantastic. All right. So today we are going to talk. I'm going to go through a case study, an example. There are many people that display godfidence through in the Bible, throughout history, and today. And I think Ben's testimony this morning. Ben's testimony this morning shows his godfidence, that he heard God and he was willing to go out and go to room number 12 and say, look, God has asked me to come and speak to you. And that takes godfidence. That takes confidence that God is telling you to do things, and then to trust him and to obey. We all sometimes think, oh, I think I should do this and I know God wants me to do that. But it's the trusting and obeying part that sometimes gets a little tough. So as you know, the case study of today is a man who was around 400, 450 years before the birth of Jesus. And his name was Nehemiah. And I think he showed great confidence and trust in God. So a little bit more about Nehemiah. For those of you that don't know the character well, Nehemiah was a Jewish man who lived outside of Jerusalem. He lived in Shushan, which was the capital of the Persian Empire of the time, which was thousands of kilometers away from Jerusalem. And he had a really unique role. His job was, as you saw, he was the cup bearer for the Persian king, King Artaxerxes. And so you may think to yourself, well, he gave the king wine, so what? But his job was more important than that. He was a Jew serving the Persian king, and his role was to taste all the food and drink that was brought to the king to make sure that it was safe and that it wasn't poisoned. So having this role kept him in close proximity to the king. And as a result, the king would have learned to really gain a relationship and trust that Nehemiah was a good man that he could trust. So what, you might be saying? So how does that show godfidence? Well, you guys have seen the drama now, so I want you to tell me, what are the things that you saw from the drama and from your reading of Nehemiah this week that shows Nehemiah had godfidence? He had confidence that God was good and he was in control. So what did you notice? He prayed. I don't know who said it, but yes, he prayed. His prayer life definitely showed that he trusted God. May? He never gave up. Fantastic. He had great endurance. Anyone else from the Nehemiah? What you know about Nehemiah? What did he do in his life that made you think that he had great trust in God? He heard from God. Was that right? He believed that he heard from God and he obeyed on what he believed was from God. Yes. Fantastic. May? He had confidence. He had confidence to in the face of the enemies. All right. These are all good things. He stood up for what he believed, and it would have taken great confidence, great godfidence, to go before the Persian king and risk his own life to say, send me back to Jerusalem so I can rebuild the walls. But as we'll learn, that God was in control. And there was a bigger force being God. But the time and place and all that allowed for Nehemiah for the king to say yes to that. And for Nehemiah to be able to go back and God to use him greatly. So some of the noteworthy qualities that I found in my reading of Nehemiah that I want to mention before I make two big points about what I think made Nehemiah especially confident. The first was that he had a heart for God's people. And we saw that when he first received the news from his brother Hanani that when he said, how's everything going in Jerusalem? He lives thousands of miles away. How would he know? They didn't have the internet. They didn't have TV and the media back then. So his brother told him, he said, not good. The people are in a state of despair. The walls have been knocked down and the gates have been burned. And Nehemiah falls to his knees. And he prayed and he fasted to God. He genuinely cared about God's people. Another noteworthy quality is his patience. Although it wasn't made known in the drama today, but from the time Nehemiah learnt of the state of Jerusalem to the time that he went before the king was about 4 months. So Nehemiah wasn't a man that just rushed into things willy-nilly. He spent that time seeking God in prayer and fasting, and then he waited for the right time when he felt that God wanted him to come before the king and say, King, can you send me back to Jerusalem? I need to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem for my people. He showed patience when he went to Jerusalem. He went to Jerusalem. He didn't just get there and say, everyone, people of Jerusalem, God has told me that I'm going to lead you guys in rebuilding the wall. No, he surveyed the scene. He surveyed the wall. 3 days he walked around and checked it out and surveyed to make sure that it was the right time. He was listening to God before he introduced his plan to the people to rebuild the wall. And he showed great patience when he was building the wall with the people and they started to get tired. They started to get fearful in the face of all the attacks from the enemy. He showed great discernment in the persistent attacks of the enemy. When they mocked him, when they lied, they false accusations, when they tried to distract him, when they tried to intimidate him with death threats, Nehemiah, his response was always the same. He prayed to God, he sought God, and he stayed strong. He had confidence because of that prayer life. And finally, as May said, he had great endurance. He, despite the persistent attacks and of the enemy, despite his own fatigue, despite the fear of his people and their wanting to give up, he stood. He stood firm and he endured until that wall was up. So these are all noteworthy qualities of Nehemiah that I think are worth mention. But the two major points that I want to make about Nehemiah's confidence was firstly, his inner life of prayer. Firstly and most importantly, his inner life of prayer is what I believe gave him his confidence in God. And secondly, his outer life, his actions that he chose to do. His life lived was a direct flow on from his inner life seeking God. So firstly, Nehemiah's inner life of prayer. I think this showed great confidence, Nehemiah's inner life of prayer. You see that how many times did Nehemiah, in times of trouble, pray? Did you notice? We deliberately had Jasper playing Nehemiah, kneel and pray, to show you that so many times when trouble came, Nehemiah's reflex-like response was to pray. He didn't think, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, I better, you know, think in my own strength what I can do. No, he went straight to God. He sought God for what to do. When he received news of Jerusalem that it was in a state of despair, he fasted and he prayed for 3 days before speaking to the king and asking that he could go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. He sought God in prayer. When he was confronted by the enemy's numerous and deliberate attacks, he continually sought God in prayer. Maybe his prayers were a bit King David-like, asking that the that their tactics and that would be thrown back on their own head, but it was still seeking God rather than responding in his own flesh. When he was tired, he prayed. When the people were fearful, he prayed. Nehemiah was a prayer warrior, and his reflex-like prayer life showed his humility. He didn't try to rebuild the wall and live the amazing life he did in his own strength. He did it through his seeking God and through his trust and obeying in God. But Nehemiah wasn't just a closet prayer warrior. With a life that looked no different from others. His outer life, I think, was quite amazing. It was a mighty life lived for God, and I believe that rolled on as a manifestation of his inner life seeking God. Nehemiah could have quite easily stayed back in Shushan. He had a good job, cushy job, working for the king. You know, he would have been well paid, taken care of. Jerusalem was thousands of miles away. He didn't need to worry about them. But Nehemiah, you know, his inner life seeking God and listening to God led him to believe that, hey, God wants me back there. I'm to be back there. I'm to lead the people in rebuilding Jerusalem's wall. Nehemiah's confidence to be cautious when he went back to Jerusalem in surveying the land, not going back and just being a big boof head saying, let's rebuild the wall. He took his time. He surveyed it. And he made sure he knew who was on his team and who wasn't. His life lived dealing with the enemy. So many of us, when we hear the enemy's tactics, we do one of two things. We fight back in our own flesh, foolishly sometimes, or we get scared and we run. The whole fight or flight reflex, as they talk about. But Nehemiah had a different reflex. His reflex was to pray and seek God and let God be his guide. He wasn't guided by his own flesh. Nehemiah's endurance in the face of so many attacks, so many different attacks by the enemy, that he just didn't give up. He had true confidence. He trusted God. Nehemiah risked his own life so that he could follow God. This shows true confidence. Being confident is something that you can't fake for long. If Nehemiah was trying to do all that he did in his life in his own strength, he would have gave up way earlier. When you actually read that story through of how persistent the enemy were and how varied their tactics were, you would have given up. You would have been like, I'm tired. The people are whinging now. The people don't want to do it. The enemy is unrelenting. The enemy are going to kill me. The enemy are hiring people from within my community to set me up to kill me. If he didn't really trust God, he would have given up. But Nehemiah had a real trust in God, and that came through his real time seeking God, trusting him and obeying him. His amazing outer life, his life lived, came from his inner life of prayer, seeking God and trusting and obeying him. Now, an important point here is that Nehemiah was not a superhero. We aren't to worship Nehemiah or his character. Nehemiah was simply a normal guy who chose to seek God, to trust him, and to boldly obey him. See, it was God who had Nehemiah uniquely placed in time, in his job, and in his role that would allow him to be used mightily. At this time in history, the Persian Empire was starting to experience revolt from the surrounding nations. And King Artaxerxes knew that potentially Persia was in trouble. And so for Nehemiah to come to him at that time and ask that he could he go back and rebuild the walls or the rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and make it strong again was actually worked in the favor of Persia. It was a strategic advantage for them to have an ally and to have a strong Jerusalem city in a place where nations wanted to surround. So God knew that. God knew that this was the right time for him to use Nehemiah. He knew that only Nehemiah could lead this because only Nehemiah had that specific unique role of being the cupbearer, being in that trusted position of the king, where if he asked him, then he would be able to go back. And because he had such a trusted and specific role, the king was not only said yes, because it was a strategic advantage, he blessed him with cavalry and commanders and gave them, helped them with the material to rebuild it. Nehemiah wasn't a superhero. Nehemiah was simply a man who sought God, who trusted and obeyed, and was always meant to be used for that. And God knew that, so he was. That's why he was able to use him. I hate to break your burst your bubbles here, guys, too, but we're not superheroes either. So I know a lot of some of the young guys, especially in youth, they love this superhero idea and this theme and that, but we're not superheroes. But we can have superpower. We can have God's Holy Spirit superpower like Nehemiah if we are willing, like Nehemiah, to seek God in real time, in prayer, listening for his voice, trusting and obeying him. When we do that, God can use us mightily too. See, each of us have been placed in a unique time in the world, in a unique place and in a unique role. That may be as a mother, that may be working in the public service, that may be leading a children's ministry, that may be the senior pastor. You may think your role is not important, but God wants to use each of us. He has uniquely placed us here now at this time and place. And if we are willing to seek him, to trust him and to obey him, he can use us mightily just like he used Nehemiah. So how would your life look if you had big Godfidence? If you had the confidence in God that Nehemiah had? Would it look different? Would your prayer life look different? Would your inner life seeking God look different? Would your life lived, your outer life look different? Would your family life look different? Would your involvement in the church look different? Would your involvement in the social issues in our community and world look different? I don't know. I think Nehemiah held a key to confidence in God, and I don't think it's a secret. But I think it's a key nonetheless. I think we can all live Godfident lives, and God can use us mightily if we too are willing to spend time seeking God every day when trouble comes and look to him for guidance as to how we're to live our lives and not respond in our own flesh. If we seek God and we trust that we are hearing his voice, like Wendy said, and that we obey what he says, God can use us mightily, just like Nehemiah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the story of Nehemiah. He was a mighty man who lived an amazing life because he trusted and he sought you. Lord, let us be like Nehemiah in that we choose to seek you in times of trouble and in times of just times of life, and let us trust you and obey you and let your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen.